Okay. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. First of all, thanks to management of Cranfield College, of project and program management, for giving me this opportunity to talk. Secondly, I would like to congratulate the graduates for the achievement, and also friends and family for the support that you've given the graduates all these years. I will not be long, because most of the people during graduation, they just want to take photos and eat, and they've got, you know, some celebrations at home, so I don't want to bore you with long speeches. The title of my speech is Leadership in Projects. The reason I feel strongly about this is that, you know, I have a belief that most projects are overmanaged and underled. Now, you may tend to disagree with me, but I'll unpack it in a few minutes. Maybe after this, you will believe me. Years back, I had the privilege of interviewing project managers to find out about their stance on the issue of leadership in projects. I was surprised by the response that I got from most of them. Some of them did not consider themselves as leaders. They would say that, you know, a leader is either a line manager or a program manager. And for me, I was shocked by this, because I believe that everyone in a project is a leader in his or her own right. So I drew the conclusion that perhaps that is the reason why many of our projects are facing a vacuum in leadership. If one takes a look at the researches that have been conducted in the area of failure of projects, one can notice that 80% of the causes of failure relate to ineffective leadership. These will include, you know, communication, proper stakeholder management, you know, role clarity and such. Those are not really technical issues, but they are issues relating to behavior, and most probably relating to leadership issues. Yet, we fail to give leadership the attention that it deserves in projects. Whenever there is a problem in a project, you know, the general tendency is to jump into a technical solution. You know, we brainstorm, and then we find that at the end of the day, it was not the software or the system for that matter, but it was the project manager. His leadership skills were questionable. So you'll find that even when there is a political situation in a project, we shy away from the political terrain of that environment, and we are so accustomed to talk about technical issues in a project. That's why the problem solving within our projects tends to be elongated, because sometimes you find that at the end of the day, because we cannot solve the problem, we resort to blame shifting and we don't take responsibility for our actions. Do people agree with me on this? I see, you know, sad faces. If you agree with me, then if you don't agree, and then at least I'll know that, you know, I'm talking nonsense. So it is very customary, you know, when we start projects, you know, we become so concerned with processes like planning, scheduling, risk management, communication planning. These are good. The value of these processes cannot be underestimated. However, in my view, I think that project managers should take it a step further and ask themselves critical questions about their leadership. For example, a project manager needs to ask himself or herself, how am I going to lead these people towards a solution? What skills do I need to employ so that I make sure that I lead these people towards this challenging situation? And for that matter, what do I do when some of these people do not agree with some of the decisions that I take in a project? So therefore, it is important that we as project managers should take an introspection and be conscious about the level of leadership that we're applying to the project, and not just to be concerned about the technical processes. For example, at one time, one of my projects failed, you know, dismally. I mean, it was in a process of failure. And I had to ask myself a question, you know, what is this doing to my leadership? And if that is the case, what do I do in order to solve the challenges within this project? And how do I rise above this failure? And when I asked those questions, I came across many challenges that I had internally as a person, and I had to deal with them. And I think that sometimes we fail to address some of these issues because we feel vulnerable, because these are the issues that hit you at the core of your being, and you don't want to feel vulnerable, you know, to your subordinates or your team members. But after the process of vulnerability, you come out as a champion because you address your issues, you deal with your own issues. You don't wait for someone to tell you that, you know, you suck at this job. You tell yourself, you know what, really, I did not conduct that meeting properly. Maybe I should jack up my skills on, you know, meeting management or something like that, or conducting meetings. So you have an introspection about what you do on a continuous basis. When you're asking yourself such questions, it improves the performance of projects, and it can improve the performance within the organizations themselves. The fact that, you know, projects are done by people and not machines, it makes us to ensure that we know, or we become better at dealing with people. I still have to see a project that is implemented by a machine. I think that with all the technologies that we have seen over the years, I think that this aspect of leading projects, it cannot be done by computers. So that's why I like project management, because it seems like my job is very secure. It cannot be taken by a computer. So therefore, leadership should be everyone's business. Leadership should be everyone's business. I think that the reason we cannot digest that statement is because we don't have the right conceptualization about leadership. My understanding is that when you are in a project, whether you are an engineer or a business analyst or a project administrator for that matter, you are a leader in your own right. There are people that are depending on you to make effective decisions based on your skill and expertise. And therefore, you should not succumb to some other pressures that make you feel that you are low and then you are not a leader, and then the leader is a line manager who signs your leave form. Leadership should be everyone's business. John C. Maxwell states that leadership is not about the position, but it's about disposition. That means it's about character. I'm just going to give, you know, a few tips about how to enhance leadership. The greatest thing about writing a book is that you can always tell people that read page so and so, and then you close the speech. You don't have to dwell too much on the details. They will read it themselves. So I thank God that I have written a book. So the first point that I want to mention is, when you want to enhance your leadership, you must first lead yourself. First lead yourself, or first know yourself. You know, there are people who want to aspire to be leaders, and yet you'll find that they are still dealing with issues of self-control. And I mean, how can you lead others when you yourself cannot control yourself? And you have to get over that. You have to know yourself before you can lead other people. And I like the training that I was given at Cranefield. They are not paying me to say this, but one of the modules, you know, that we did was to do an MBTI. For me, I think that made a difference because I knew myself better. You know, even when a manager comes to me and says, "You must change. I don't like the way you're leading people. You're too soft. You must be hard on people." And I say, "That is not me." You know, because, you know, it's very tiring to be pretentious. You know, you cannot sustain it for a long time. You can try and be a mature person and then you say, I don't want this, but in the end, you become who you are. So what's the point of pretending that you are this, you know, cruel person when inside you are very soft? So I'm saying that before you lead others, make an introspection about your life. Who are you? You know, I think that sometimes, you know, beyond all the materialistic things that we have, you know, sometimes we don't know ourselves. You know, take away the Mercedes-Benz, the BMW, the big house. You know, who is Lunga? You know. The second point is understand the power of influence. Project managers are not so fortunate like line managers, where you know, you have some sort of control over people. So therefore, project managers cannot use the same tactic as line managers. You know, if somebody is not performing on a project, I cannot say to that person, you know what, you're not going to get your bonus. I'm not pleased with your performance. You're not going to get the salary this month. You know, the person will just laugh at you because he will just say, "Look at my face." You know, I just don't care, because the thing is, you don't control my bonus, you don't control my salary. So therefore, project managers need to understand the power of influence. When you understand the power of influence, you know where the leverages are. You know how to influence people towards a certain solution. When people are seeing that it's difficult to achieve a certain target, because you're influencing people to see the bigger picture, they will follow you. Is it still okay? Oh, okay. Relationship building is very vital in projects. And I need to stress this a little bit, because I see sometimes project managers not paying much attention to this. You know, for example, if I have a project that is in Cape Town and I don't have the means to go to Cape Town, if I have built effective relationships with a person in Cape Town, I can ask for favors. That person can do something for me. But if I have not built, you know, effective relationship with that person will just tell me, you know, you need to fly to Cape Town. I'm not here to do your job. I'm here to do my job. So therefore, it is important for project managers, whenever they are implementing projects, to pay attention to relationship building. Relationships are always tested. You mentioned marriages, friendships. Excuse me. Relationships are always tested. And the strength of relationships are always shown in tough times. And what I see people doing as project managers at times, they tend to put the situation ahead of the relationship. For example, if a project is failing, and I mean, you know that the chips are down, you must also be mindful of the fact that even though the project is late, but be careful of how you tread along, you know, in terms of building your relationship. You don't want to shout at people now because, you know, the project is late. It will not do you anything. You might achieve that objective that moment, but you're not going to sustain it in the long term, because now people sort of have gained a different perspective about you. They will sort of shy away from you or treat you differently. So therefore, it is important that whenever we are working in projects, we must not put the situation ahead of the relationship. The fourth point that I want to mention is to understand human behavior. Now, I'm not saying that HEDOL project managers must be like Professor Smigel, where they are psychologists. You know, it will take me a long time to be a psychologist. I think that I'll even fail the first year. You know, but what I've seen over the years is that as you are climbing up the corporate ladder in project management, when I mean climbing up, I don't mean that you're a project manager, you're a portfolio manager, but in terms of maturing in the area of project management, the more you climb the ladder in project management, the more you need to understand human behavior. The reason I'm saying is that when you understand human behavior, you begin to understand that there are certain battles that you don't want to fight because you know where the leverage is. But people who don't understand human behavior, they fight everything. You know, even when a simple thing, a small task is late, you know, they chop at you, how are we going to finish this project, you know? Because people don't understand where the leverage is. But when you understand where the leverage is and when you understand how you can influence people towards a certain decision, you become relaxed. And also you understand when the reason why people behave the way they do. So you don't focus on the symptoms, but you focus on the causes. And therefore you waste a little time in terms of problem solving. But if you don't do that, you will be always dealing with symptoms. The fifth point that I want to make is be human or be humane. I think that I think everyone in this room, before we had all the titles, the qualifications, we were human beings, you know, and most probably we will die as human beings, you know. Kaka, I think that even the attire that you are wearing today, it will not be in your coffin, you will leave it here. So most probably you will die as a human being. But, you know, there's a general tendency sometimes for us to put, you know, our titles, you know, our statuses ahead of us, and we forget that, you know, we are human beings. I'll make an example. There was a situation where a colleague of ours was hospitalized, and we went to hospital to visit her. I mean, we were so down when we came back. It was during lunchtime, so we gave feedback to the manager to say, you know what, this person, you know, is not feeling well, she's hospitalized. You know, the manager just looked at us and he said, so when is he coming back to work? I think we were so angry and we could not even answer the question. We just left him like that. The second example that I want to make, a colleague of mine, he was working in a project, and this guy was a developer. He was not performing well. It was general knowledge that this guy, you know, he doesn't perform in projects, and he has got a tendency of smelling alcohol. Well, people did not accuse him of, you know, being drunk, but people were saying that he's smelling alcohol at work. So you can draw your own conclusion. So, but what I liked about my colleague was he looked beyond the smelling of alcohol and he approached the person to find out what the problem is. And the problem was not really his workload or something like that, but it was really from the home front. And this guy was facing a terrible divorce situation. He was losing the custody battle, and he was finding rescue in alcohol. So this colleague was able to, you know, not necessarily give him advice, but to listen to him, you know, and to understand where he's coming from, so that even some of the tasks that you're supposed to do, maybe they can be given to somebody else, so that he can be given the space that he deserves, I mean, he requires. So therefore, that's being human, you know, and not necessarily that, you know, people are born, you know, doing projects and then from 8 to 5. People are emotional beings. You know, they are not like switches. You cannot switch on and off a person, you know, and there's this general tendency that we tell people to leave their problems at home. It never happens. Your problems travel with you wherever you go. If you've got a problem at home, you will go with it at work, you come back home, it's still the problem is there. So you can never tell people to leave their problems at home. So people are emotional beings, and we need to be sensitive about that. When you understand that, people respect you a lot, and you'll find that when you ask them certain favors, you'll find that they go the extra mile for you. The sixth point is serve rather than being served. Serve rather than being served. I think that there's a general tendency in leaders to want to be served. You know, we want to be brought food, we want to be brought the status reports, we want to get feedback from people about what they are doing in the project, but we hardly ever do the serving part ourselves as project managers. We hardly ever take a look at how people are performing in a project and see how we can deal with the impedances that they face on a continuous basis so that they can perform better in a project. For example, most technical people don't like to deal with negotiations. So therefore, for you as a project manager, to deal with that situation is actually taking a load off them. But what we do is that we hate even those processes, and you just sit back and accept the reports, and we don't want to serve. And we are just, waiting to be served. We must be result-oriented. That is my seventh point. Leadership without results is ineffective leadership. You can have all the qualifications you get, and you can have all the experience, but if you don't deliver, your leadership is still questionable. And I think that at times we need to make an introspection and ask ourselves during the project, how am I delivering the results? How am I talking to people? Because sometimes we may be talking to people in a way that pushes them away from the project and not performing well in a project. So we must make sure that we deliver the result. Even if we inspire people and motivate people, if we don't deliver the results, we are still ineffective as being leaders. My last point is pay attention to continuous improvements. And it's in line with the statement that I always like to make. If you don't read, you must not lead. If you don't read, you must not lead. The reason I'm saying that is that there are a lot of people, when they graduate, they tell you that this is the last time I'm taking a book. I'm so fed up. This is the last time I'm taking a book. So therefore, you find that people don't focus on continuously improving. They are content in reading tabloid magazines, You Magazine, Drum, Sword, and But they don't focus on improving their skill in leadership. And I think that we need to employ the same tactics as other professions like doctors or lawyers, because they focus on continuous improvement. They are forever, meeting other doctors to find out about, the recent cures, the latest legislations. But for us as project managers, we are still holding on to the PMBOK of 1980. I mean, there have been several revisions after that, but the guy is still quoting the first version of the Project Management Body of Knowledge. To me, that is very shocking. And I think that we need to focus on continuous improvement, make it our daily objective that we learn continuously. The skills that we were taught, at Cranfield, it's not just for an assignment so that you can pass and then you say, I'm cum laude. But the rubber hits the road when you're at work and when you are producing the results. And then you can clearly demonstrate that you are a true Cranfield graduate, Lastly, this is my book. Yeah. I'm not here to sell the book. I mean, it's inappropriate for me to sell books at the graduation, but, you know, I can take names of the people after this. You know, so the book is available, the exclusive books, Kalahari, Knowledge Resources. It's also available on ebook. So those who don't like to read on a paper-based, you can still get it electronically. I'm encouraging project managers to read, so that's why I wrote a thin book with very little chapters. You can finish it in 5 minutes. I mean, other people can testify here who have read the book. So please buy the book, and most importantly, the last word that I want to say to people, that let's not underestimate the value of leadership. Wherever we go, wherever, even if it's at home, if it's in the church, or even at workplaces, let's not underestimate the value of leadership. If we become effective leaders, we will build effective society and even an effective world. I thank you.